Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
WOGL HD3 Philadelphia from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
The question, of course, is, are they among us? I'm talking about extraterrestrial life. Wait to hear what this whistleblower says. It is the 79th anniversary of D-Day. I don't believe the President of the United States has said a damn word about it. I will give a little tribute to D-Day later in the show today. And the question we're all wondering is, just how in the tank were the teachers and the CDC on keeping schools closed? Welcome back to the show. A half hour of nonstop talk for you. 855-839-1210. And on Twitter, of course, at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to weigh in. You know, COVID vaccine disinformation has weakened Americans' confidence in all vaccines. This is one of those unintended consequences that we don't talk enough about in life, which is that when the government insists that they are right about everything and does not allow debate, and then it turns out that the so-called conspiracy theorists were right, well, then people start questioning lots of different things. And a study found, according to the New York Post story, that confidence in vaccines had dropped 14% since before the COVID-19 pandemic started. Why is that? Well, it's because everybody was told certain things about COVID, the vaccine for COVID. They were told, number one, that it would stop transmission. So maybe a lot of people got the shot initially because they were protecting somebody else in their life, an elderly relative, somebody who had pre-existing conditions, something like that. So they thought it was a sense of noblesse oblige. You know, they didn't really think that they needed it themselves, but they wanted to do it to protect somebody else. And then they find out, lo and behold, that was a lie. The vaccines do not stop transmission. Maybe they got the vaccine because they were required to go to college or to play a sport, and they were told it's perfectly safe, only to find out that actually it's not, and that it leads to, particularly in young men, healthy young men, myocarditis. And that could be fatal. In many cases, it has been. Or maybe it's a situation where they were told that if they got it, it would make COVID less severe, only to have gotten the shot and the boosters, gotten COVID again and again and again, and had got it even worse. And that natural immunity may have been way more effective, longer lasting, and with a whole lot less side effects. You see, when the government comes out and lies, because they're in the tank with Big Pharma, and the FDA in this country is a joke, and the FDA in this country exists so that people who work there can get jobs at Big Pharma one day, and the Centers for Disease Control is a joke, and exists so that people at the CDC can get jobs at Big Pharma one day, Big Pharma rules everything. And so whatever they say, right, becomes the rule. And you can't question it. And with the COVID vaccine in particular, with COVID shot in particular, that's a great example of this. Because when you watch TV, you notice this, you watch a commercial for a drug, whatever that drug is. It's usually happy people in slow motion, dancing, picking flowers, hula hooping, always in slow motion in the background. They're having drinks in slow motion. They're gazing at each other's eyes with a Ferris wheel in the background, always in slow motion. And while that slow motion activity is occurring, then they start telling all the side effects. You know, and everything's listed. And it goes on for 18 seconds about side effects about the drug. That's required. I mean, that's what the law says. You have to say all those things if you're going to run an ad for a drug. Except the COVID vaccine, you do not have to do any of those things. So when you hear ads on the station, I don't know if they still play them or not. I don't know. But your COVID, Moderna, brought to you by Pfizer, whatever it is, and you hear you don't hear the side effects. You don't hear them do that. Now, if I were to come out and I were to endorse a Viagra or something like that, not that I have any experience in that and have no idea if it works or not, I could never actually personally attest to it, I would have to list all the side effects because that's the rule. And that's what you see in those commercials. The happy slow motion people in slow motion as they list all the side effects. The COVID shots, you never have to do that because the government gave an emergency use authorization and they said, don't worry about that. But this is the thing. When you lie to people, when you mislead people, and when people are trying to bring up actual scientific evidence that is real about the COVID shot from based out of Europe or Israel or anything else, whether it's about myocarditis or whether it's about transmission or anything else. And then big tech joins in the unholy triad of big tech, the corporate media, and the government working together to silence that as misinformation, even though when it's actually a scientific fact. And then all these things that the conspiracy theorists were saying proved to be true. Then people turn around and say, well, what else have I been lied to about? And according to the Wall Street Journal, 93% of Americans reported confidence in vaccines before the pandemic. Now, after 3 years of misinformation, flip-flopping, and straight-up lies about the COVID vaccine, only 79% do. And much of the messaging that muddied the waters on the vaccine came directly from Democratic leaders, the CDC, and Asanto Fauci, yes, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. Right off the bat, Democrats, blinded by their hatred of Donald Trump, sprang into fear-mongering about the vaccine being rolled out under Trump. You remember that. I played you those montages in the past, both Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, questioning whether it would be safe. The Love Gov Andrew Cuomo questioning whether or not it would be safe. Biden said the vaccine was, quote, not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be done and the trials that are needed to be done. So they purposely came out and they said, well, I wouldn't do it if it came out under Trump. Harris said health experts would be muzzled and suppressed by the Trump administration. The LoveGov Andrew Cuomo said there were, quote, serious questions about whether the vaccine has become politicized. And told New Yorkers, you shouldn't trust the federal government's opinion. I wouldn't take it myself until I was able to review it myself. That's what he said. Then after Biden was safely in the White House, suddenly that all went aside. Fauci called vaccinated people a dead end for the COVID bug, said it was very, very unlikely vaccinated people would spread the disease. Rochelle Walensky said the same thing. In July of 2021, Biden referenced a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated and claimed you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. He also accused the social media companies of killing people because they were allowing people to post opinions about the COVID shots on their platforms, and he wanted that regulated. And that threat from the government was enough to force big tech to, not force, but to cajole big tech into turning around and doing what big tech loves to do and censor people's opinions that they disagree with. So that's what they did. All of that, of course, was blatantly untrue. As anyone who's gotten the jab and still caught COVID can attest. Lastly, there were troubling side effects of the vaccine, yet Fauci and company downplayed them. Yes, they write the vaccine is perfectly safe and a wise choice for an overwhelming number of people. By first dissing it, then overselling it, officials lost much of the public's trust, which now seems less willing to accept any vaccine. That could mean even more sick Americans. And it'll take a whole new lot of honesty to restore confidence. That's the New York Post opinion piece. Now, I'm not going to get into whether or not the vaccine's safe for an overwhelming number of people or anything. That's not the point. The point is that when the government lies, when big tech lies, when the corporate media lies, when they're all in on it together, and the root of this is money, and it always is, I always say, this is the only rule, follow the money. The unintended consequence of that is that something else happens. In this case, trust in experts, the media, not the media, there never was there, experts in science and vaccines that have been around for a long, long time, plummets. And there were people back then who were saying these things. I remember, too, when the COVID vaccines were being rolled out and you had people who were coming out and saying, if we're not honest, fully honest and transparent about everything about this, people will lose trust in all the vaccines that are out there. But that didn't matter to them either. They didn't listen to that either because they were just hell-bent on making sure that everybody got it. They mandated it, right? They mandated it. They required it. They wanted to force your kids to get it. And so, yeah, the good news, though, about that is it's a wake-up call for people to really think very carefully about what the government tells you and whether or not you should just blindly put your faith in whatever the government says. On the one hand, it is a good wake-up call about that. Because I think for a lot of people, they went into COVID thinking that, yeah, oh, whatever they tell me is true. Why wouldn't they be telling me the truth? And then you go through it and you go, maybe because they're petty tyrants who love to control everything and they love to see their face on television day after day, night after night, like Cuomo, for example, or King Philip the Unaccountable, making rules and edicts and laws on their own. And they just like it because that's the way they are. They're petty tyrants and they enjoy it. They do. They enjoy it. They get a rise off of it. They really do. I'm not exaggerating. They feel it move these people when they're able to sit there and shut down a state and tell people what to do and force them to get a shot or force them to wear a mask or both. They love it. They really do. They feel good inside. And then, you know, you find out that the masks didn't work and that, and we were saying this all along, and you find out that the masks actually were worse. Actually, they made people sick. And then the damage that was done to our children who were made to wear masks and the speech issues, the speech delays and all of that. And all these things that we were saying all along, and they told us that we were crazy. And then you find out that we were right all along. Now, the good news, though, because I'm always trying to look at the bright side of life, right? Always look on the bright side of life. I do believe that. Is that a healthy dose of skepticism of the government is what each and every person should have. I mean that, and I mean that with every ounce of my soul. A healthy dose of skepticism about whatever the experts tell you should be a requirement. I will never tell you what to do, and so I'm not going to tell you it should be forced upon you, but my advice to you is be skeptical of everything these people tell you. Because if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's that they lie so much for various reasons, all kinds of different reasons they lie. They lied about the COVID lab leak theory for years. They're still lying about it, but they lied for years about it to A, to protect China, and B, to protect themselves, because follow the money, gain of function research makes a lot of people money. They lie right now and tell us that gender ideology is real. It's not, or excuse me, gender identity. Gender identity is not a real thing. Gender identity insofar as it being different from your biological sex. It's not real. They've decided it's real. Just like they decided that the lab leak theory was wrong and that it came from an undercooked bat burger. Just like they tell us that the whales and dolphins are not dying because of the wind turbine project. They just decide what is fact. Just like climate change is man-made and that's it. And you can't disagree with that. You're not allowed to. And they do this all the time. And for a lot of people, I think when you go back to maybe March of 2020, it's like the end of the innocence. You know, the end of the innocence is right then and there at that time, because there was a point where people wanted to believe that when a pandemic hit our shores, that everybody would put the BS aside and just actually try to do the right thing and help. And, you know, without having that healthy dose of skepticism, you might have found yourself in a position where you were yelling at somebody in Home Depot to put their mask on properly or something like that. But if you had a healthy dose of skepticism, you might have looked at somebody not wearing a mask properly in Home Depot and thought, is that gator thing around that guy's face really going to do much anyway? Is it worth a confrontation? And it turned around and walked the other way. You know what I mean? So there were people, and you see this on the left too, particularly when it comes to this, and whatever government says is right. So whatever it is, you know, we believe in science, whatever it says, But you also noticed in the fall of 2020 in particular, when they said if Donald Trump, if the vaccines approved under him, they wouldn't take it. That was allowed. You were allowed to be a skeptic for that reason. That was, you were allowed. So even if the FDA and the CDC had come out earlier and approved the COVID shot, because ultimately they did it after the election. But even if they had done it earlier, say if they had done it in October, right before the election, and Democrats would have screamed and yelled, all those, we believe in science. This is to tell you how phony these people are. If in October of 2020, the CDC and the FDA had come out and said, this shot is perfectly safe and everybody should get it. This is the end of COVID right here, COVID-19. And Fauci had come out and said that. These Democrats would have screamed at the top of their lungs, I will not be getting this. Donald Trump's vaccine, this is political. This is designed to help him win. And all the hate, the we believe in science crowd would have been the first ones in line to agree with them. And the first ones posting on Facebook and Twitter and social media and wherever their little platforms take them to say that this, I would never take this. Are you kidding me? I would never take this. What are you, crazy? This thing is dangerous. It's Trump's vaccine. But you were allowed back then. You were allowed to do that back then. It was the only time you were allowed to be skeptical. Once Biden became president, you were no longer allowed to be skeptical. In fact, you were now forced to take it in many circumstances. And that whole period of time where these Democrats were out there saying over and over and over again, I don't know if I would take it if it's Trump's vaccine. All those same people were the very ones to come around and mandate it as soon as Biden was president. To damn right come out and mandate it. So now that brings me to the question, of course, of extraterrestrial life. And you know, it's funny, whenever I think about things like the Kennedy assassination, landing on the moon, extraterrestrial life, whatever it is, I used to be convinced that there were people out there who loved conspiracy theories for the point of it. And just for that, like, it was fun. It was fun to engage in, and that's just fun to do and fun to engage in. I used to think that all the time. But now I realize in my life that everything, call into question everything, because so much of what we've been told has proven to be absolute BS, that there's nothing that would surprise me anymore. I talked to Jimmy Failla about this the other day when he was on my show. We were at the Grand Hotel. And would I be surprised if it turns out that the moon landing you saw on video was actually staged? And we did get there. We did land there, but it just wasn't that one. You know, it was like the next day or whatever. No, nothing surprises me anymore. It really doesn't. And I joke with Jimmy about that because he's doing this Fox Nation special about conspiracy theories about the moon landing. And I said, you know, the thing I've always wondered though about is, hey, the key grip guy, you know, the guy who's got the microphone or the electrician, the plumber, whoever's working the job that day in the Hollywood studios where Stanley Kubrick's shooting the moon landing, and how they never talked to anybody. And he laughed and he said, because this government, they'll kill you in a heartbeat to keep you quiet. And sadly, you know, I mean, it's as you get older, you things that you once used to dismiss as just being crazy, you start thinking to yourself, well, all right, like the Kennedy assassination, for example, why does the CIA keep all these files classified still? It was a long time ago. Why do they still keep all these files classified? And you sit there and you think to yourself, are they hiding something? And a healthy dose of skepticism would say, well, if they're not hiding something, why don't they just tell us everything? Like, what, at this point, everybody's dead. What are they worried about? Just tell us, except if it does point to them, in which case then that won't be good and won't look good, right? So that's why, you know, so a healthy dose of skepticism is always important in life. On the question of extraterrestrial life, again, the idea always was that if you believed in this, you were a conspiracy kook. If you believed the government was lying to you, if you believed that there were aliens at Area 51, or you watched the X-Files and you used to believe that that show was right, you know, the way that they get you to just go along with something is that you are a conspiracy theorist if you disagree. Take the Hunter Biden laptop. Conventional wisdom said this was Russian disinformation. So a lot of people at the time, and I hear this all the time from people, a lot of people at the time said, you know what? I believe that. I believe that based on the fact that all these experts came out and said that. And I believe that at the time, because let's face it, it sounded so outlandish And it was totally probable that Russia could do something like this, especially after Russian collusion. But then you go back and you realize that that was made up. You know what I mean? So you watch The X-Files, you watch shows like this, and at one time they used to dismiss them as fun, and then you watch them and you go, well, gee, a lot of these things are... And then you read Jack Carr's book, The New One, Only the Dead, where he talks about all these various conspiracies that somehow seem to come true. All the people that made money in the stock market the day before 9/11, for example. So I don't dismiss anything anymore. I used to. I did. I used to dismiss certain things. And I would say, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. I just don't anymore. In my mind now, nothing surprises me. You know, if tomorrow it turned out that Joe Biden addressed the nation and peeled a zipper down and it turns out he was an alien the whole time, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Right? I'd be like, all right. Like, nothing surprises me anymore, honestly. Except that I would think that you would hope that intelligent life, extraterrestrial life, would be way more intelligent than that. But that's the only part of it that I would find surprising, I guess. So here's this UFO whistleblower, this Pentagon UFO whistleblower named David Grush, who says the United States is in possession of vehicles of non-human origin and bodies of the pilots. And he spoke with News Nation about this, cut number 7.
What conclusion did you come to at the end of your time on the UAP task force?
The UAP task force was refused access to a broad crash retrieval program.
When you say crash retrieval, what do you mean?
These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, you know, call it spacecraft if you will, non-human, exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number.
You're kidding.
No. I thought it was totally nuts, and I thought at first I was being deceived. It was a ruse. People started confiding in me. They approached me. I have plenty of current and former senior intelligence officers that came to me, many of which I knew almost my whole career, that confided in me. They were a part of a program. They named the program. I've never heard of it. And they told me, based on their oral testimony, and they provided me documents and other proof, that there was, in fact, a program that the UAP task force was not read into.
Grush alleges the U.S. government has recovered non-human craft for decades. He's filed a whistleblower complaint saying he gave what he calls the classified proof to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General. News Nation has confirmed David Grush's credentials and resume. We've not seen or verified the alleged proof he says he's provided to investigators. He says he can't show us the proof for national security reasons. He also tells us he's not seen photos of the alleged craft himself, but has talked extensively with other intelligence officials who have.
If you're right, if you're telling us the truth, Everyone, the entire American public, has been lied to for decades.
Yeah, there's a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral.
You are saying to the human race, for the first time, an official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone, yeah.
Do we have bodies? Do we have species of non-human?
Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. And believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds, it's true.
I don't know. Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. If it turns out that an alien shot JFK and was on the grassy knoll the whole time, I'd be like, all right. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, all right.
That one might surprise me a bit.
That's the one that would surprise you?
That one I'd be like, all right, didn't see that coming. That's quite a twist.
It turns out that we shot the moon landing in a Hollywood studio, but when we finally got there, there was an alien sitting there smoking a cigarette and like, what took you so long?
I think they're there to arrest him. They're there to arrest him.
And then when the guy gets there, the guy's like, pull up a chair. I got a big story to tell you. It turns out we whacked your president. He's the guy that said to come here, so we're like, you got to kill the guy.
Yeah, we got to get this alien on the show. Make for a great guest.
I mean, honestly, nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. I guess I've gotten so jaded. Cynical is not the right word, but I think jaded, or I've been in my life so many times that I've heard something, and at this point now, literally nothing. If Bigfoot walked in the studio right now, punched me in the face, and walked out, I'd be like, how did he get in the building? That's the only part I'd find surprising about this.
I would beg him to hold off on hitting you until after we got cameras rolling so we could post it to YouTube.
Yeah, that's the only part of this. I'd be like, damn it, nobody's going to believe this because there's one day I'm not streaming on YouTube. And
yeah.
The other great conspiracy theories that are out there, there's a lot of them, obviously, but of all of them, too, I mean, hunting Bigfoot. That show is fantastic. These guys that hold up in the woods, and you know, it's just totally get away from their wife and kids, right? It's 100% that. I think Bigfoot was invented by guys drinking beer, and they said, we don't golf. How do we get out of the house like the golfers do? Because my friends who golf are geniuses, man. Every Saturday and Sunday, they're gone for hours. They're playing golf, and they're drinking beer. These guys are friggin' brilliant. I don't golf, so I always talk about that. And I say to Bridget all the time, you know, I don't golf, so I'm around a lot on the weekend. Probably a bunch of guys sat around a bar in Montana or something, like, we don't golf. It's not hunting season. What are we going to do? And one guy's like, what if we go find Bigfoot? And they're like, yes! But we need to say we saw him, and then the rest, boom. Probably what happened with the Loch Ness Monster, too, is probably a bunch of dudes sitting there one day, the wife's yelling at him all the time, like, stop fishing all the time. And they said, okay, we're chasing a monster?
I like your conspiracy theory. I'm actually buying into this. You've sold me. I'll join your cult.
It's a conspiracy and a conspiracy. So it's a mystery wrapped inside an enigma.
It sounds peaceful too. Now I think I might adopt like a, I don't know, a Sasquatch conspiracy theory just so I can relax on the weekends.
That's what you got to do. By the way, breaking news, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni has launched Family Pride Month in Italy, which promotes traditional values and the mothers and fathers who raise the children in Italy. I'd have a soundbite of her, but it's all in Italian. So let me translate for you. It goes like this. Hey, scusi, eh? Moms and dads a matter, eh? Why don't we focus on the family? That's, I think, the audio right there. That's exclusive audio of Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. You're welcome.
I had the clip, but you basically played it, so I'll just sit on the sideline.
That's basically what she says. I mean, she might have said different things. But that's really the gist of it. Am I right?
Yeah, you sound just like her, too.
I sound just like her. All right, 855-839-1210. What do you think, Henry? If Bigfoot walked in the studio and punched you in the face today, would you be at all surprised?
Not in the slightest. I mean, yeah, it's just another day, right?
Yeah.
If Bigfoot punches Henry, you know what? I become his biggest fan.
The only question is, how would Bigfoot make it to the studio without getting carjacked? That's the only question I'd have. That would be the surprising part of this.
I know he doesn't have access to the garage.
Exactly. I'd be like, Bigfoot, oh, you're real? Yeah, I'm not surprised. You didn't get carjacked? Now that's a freaking shock. Because I just saw the new carjacking numbers, and they are huge in the city of Philadelphia. The Jersey Devil, too, that's one, definitely. And truly, if I'm driving one day, you know, through Millville on my way to New Jersey Motorsports Park, and I crash into the Jersey Devil, and he completely banged up my Volvo, looked at me, snickered, and ran back into the Pine Barrens, I'd turn around and be like, damn it, now I got to fix this. I don't know, is this going to cover my deductible? You know what I mean? I'd be like, yo, devil, can you at least pay the deductible, you son of a... Nothing would surprise me in this day and age.
Can we exchange
nothing.
Info? Can we?
Yeah. Yeah, could you come back and... All right. 855-839-1210. Here's the deal. So we're going to get into more stuff before the show ends, including Paula Scanlon on being teammates with Leah Thomas. I want to give a little bit of a tribute to D-Day, this being the 79th anniversary of D-Day. The president has said nothing. The White House put out a tweet. It's stupid, but, you know, they didn't actually do anything that's actually correct. So yeah, all right. 855-839-1210. But here's what I wanted to mention. I said I could just find my Dr. Mike Veneria, a great guy, a great friend, and the master of dental implants. I want to tell you why I go to Dr. Mike. Along with my wife, my children, and my parents, we all trust Dr. Veneria and his team. They have been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. That's right, 9 consecutive years. Now, Dr. Mike's office is unique in that they treat your needs, not driven by money or costs. That's why patients travel as far as Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in the case of Mama Zioli, and California and Florida for his care and expertise. There's simply no one better. Dr. Mike has served so many families in our region, and since he has 2 offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, you know that he's easy to get to from wherever you are. Pediatric, general, cosmetic dentistry, pain-free root canal treatment if needed, and of course, those very complicated dental implants. So what are you waiting for? There's no one better than Dr. Mike Veneria. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. VANARIA VeneriaDental.com. He's the best. He really is. He's the best. He's a great guy, and you will be so happy with the care and expertise that he gives you. VeneriaDental.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Now, I'll tell you who actually engages in conspiracy theories all the time. The left and Trump haters. You know, the latest conspiracy theory is that there was a flood of a pool at Mar-a-Lago, and that was done to destroy evidence of classified documents. This is a real thing. This is the latest. Charlie Sykes, who's a Trump hater, this guy hates Trump's guts. He's constantly writing. He writes something called the Bulwark or something. And I read a little bit of his nonsense today on this whole thing. So basically now, this is what he writes. An employee at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence drained the resort's swimming pool last October and ended up flooding a room where computer servers containing surveillance video logs were kept. Sources familiar with the matter told CNN. While it's unclear if the room was intentionally flooded or if it happened by mistake, the incident occurred amid a series of events that federal prosecutors found suspicious. So you see, you can believe the conspiracy theory that Donald Trump had a Mar-a-Lago employee, because Trump's not draining the pool himself, purposely drain the swimming pool into a room where computer servers containing surveillance video logs were kept to destroy evidence of something. Conspiracy theories, right? Russian collusion. That conspiracy theory was completely made up by the Hillary Clinton campaign. The conspiracy theory of the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation was a conspiracy theory made up by the FBI with help from the Biden campaign. So, no, the left engages in conspiracies all the time. You know, they call conservatives conspiracy theorists. They're the ones who parade in conspiracies constantly, and they never stop. You know, the other conspiracy, of course, was that we said that they were going to ban gas stoves. They called that a conspiracy, except lo and behold, the little troll Richard Trumker Jr., the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, actually said that he was going to ban gas stoves and that he had the authority to do it. And when that audio came out, people were like, well, I mean, you crazy conservatives say they're going to take your gas stove. No, that's not not what we said. We said you were going to ban it, and that's what you try to do. That's exactly right. And then, of course, there's the other point, which is that wokeness is a conspiracy theory, that they're not actually grooming our kids. They're not sexualizing our kids. That's all made up by people until you see a rainbow Iron Man for your child to buy as Disney celebrates their Pride Month and corrupts everything with freaking rainbows. So, you know, give me a break with the left is constantly coming up with their own wacky theories on things. One of the things, though, that we've talked a lot about is how the United States military has gone woke. And we talk about this because they've had situations of drag queen shows on military bases. And, you know, I mean, the uniform's nice the way it is. You don't need to make it a rainbow uniform. General Mark Milley, who's one of the guys who went out there and was caught on video talking about the need for critical race theory, which is racist theory that white people are terrible and that the blacks in this country are still oppressed and that systemic racism is real. And Mark Milley gave this big impassioned speech about this. Well, he says now being woke, it's all entirely grossly over-exaggerated. Cut 10.
In congressional hearings, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has repeatedly defended the department against accusations of being too woke, an issue he says is exaggerated.
We're about fighting and winning on battlefields, and we're all about readiness. We're all about readiness now and readiness in the future and modernization. I think the accusations of woke are grossly over-exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Except that he went on an impassioned plea about the need to study critical race theory. And I've told you critical race theory is one of the most dangerous things that this nation can do. But Mark Milley also said, arguably, we're in a confrontation with China. I wonder where all this goes. I'm getting very nervous because we, the United States of America, with our insistence on Ukraine, and today Kirby came out and said we have more than enough money to fund Ukraine till the end of the year. Remember how 5 minutes ago America was broke and we had no money and they had to pass the debt ceiling? Well, just like that, magic, we have all this money to fund the war in Ukraine. Shocking. Well, as we do that, and you know, we're pushing now Russia towards China as they form this new alliance. And at the very same time we're doing all that, we're also talking more and more like World War III with China is inevitable. Here's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on that subject, cut 9.
Milley also spoke about the tension with China just days after a Chinese warship cut off a U.S. Navy vessel in the Taiwan Strait at a distance of 150 yards, dangerously close.
Both countries are significant powers, great powers, if you want to call it that, in the world today. Both countries have significant amounts of nuclear weapons. They've got large and capable militaries. So a conflict between great powers, arguably we're in competition and arguably we're in confrontation, but we're not yet in conflict.
Mm-hmm. We're not in conflict, but we could be. We could be. Just saying. All right. 855 is 839-1210. I love how a tweet by some staffer at the White House counts as remarks on D-Day. That's amazing to me. Like somebody just quote tweeted me when I said Biden has said nothing about D-Day, and somebody says, why are you lying, Rick? First of all, it's Rich, not Rick, number one. Number two, somebody at the White House puts out a statement about D-Day is not the president of the United States giving remarks on D-Day. This is a tweet from a staff member is not the same as the president of the United States speaking. Reagan spoke at Normandy on the 40th anniversary. I got a clip of that I'm going to play in the 6 o'clock hour. Trump spoke at D-Day on the anniversary, the 75th anniversary. A speech is not the same thing as a junior White House staffer coming out and putting out a tweet, Melissa. That's not the same thing. Somebody at the White House puts a tweet with Biden's face on it does not mean Joe Biden tweeted that. A, Joe Biden didn't tweet that. B, the guy still not said anything. So for the millions of people in this country, like, say, the Greatest Generation, who are not on Twitter and would love to hear from the president of the United States of America, this tweet, in my mind, does not count as a presidential comment on D-Day. But listen, when you got to defend Joe Biden, you got to defend him no matter what, whatever it takes. All right. You got to defend Joe Biden no matter what. So I don't want to get in your way. I don't need to stand in your way. All right. Let's see here now. when we think there's so much more to get to. This woman who was a teammate of Leah Thomas was on with Matt Walsh, and we're hoping to get her on the show. She was a teammate of Leah Thomas at Penn. She was a swimmer. Matt Walsh, as you know, did the movie What is a Woman? And that movie, very provocative indeed, also a movie that tells the truth. And she went on Matt Walsh's show to talk about what happened to her in particular and everything. Her name is Paula Scanlon, and what it was like to be teammates with Leah Thomas and what the University of Penn athletic department wanted from these young girls. The girls, not Leah Thomas. Cut six.
Actually, one of the girls, was very upset. She went crying to the athletic department, and I don't know what they said to her, but she then was completely on board and thought Leah swimming was like this magical, beautiful thing. Like, is there something wrong with me for thinking that this is wrong? It worked. The university wanted us to be quiet, and they did it in a very effective way. Like, there was something going on in that athletic department that wanted to keep us quiet. And I was like, this is getting scary.
It is getting scary. No question about it. No question about it. Is it getting scary for these girls? And I feel bad. Now, today in New York, the girls from Connecticut who were out there and they were in court and they were fighting to ensure that women's sports could be protected, they had their day in court today. We're hoping to get somebody from the Alliance Defending Freedom to come on the show and talk about the court case that's before them right now. But, you know, in Connecticut, they have this law where they say that transgender athletes should be allowed to play on women's teams. So biological males should be allowed to compete against women. And these girls are suing. And they had all these wonderful young women outside the courthouse today speaking about the fact that women's athletics needs to be protected. And it does. And throughout college campuses in this country, it's under attack. It really is. So good for these girls for pushing back. It's like the young ladies who were on with Megyn Kelly a few weeks ago from that sorority, the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls who were on there talking about the biological male who is a member of their sorority and living in the sorority house, and how exposed these young women feel and how they feel threatened by this. And suddenly that doesn't matter anymore. You know, when young women feeling threatened used to be a thing. Now, however, we don't care if they feel threatened or if they feel unsafe. It doesn't matter anymore because the cause matters more than their personal safety. You notice that? Imagine that's your daughter. Your daughter's at college. Your daughter's at a sorority house. And there's a biological male there. And she says to you, Dad, I feel uncomfortable. Dad, I don't feel safe. And that used to be, if a young woman in college said she did not feel safe, you were supposed to literally drop everything for that. Nowadays, she needs to shut up and maybe get counseling to deal with her transphobia. I'm not kidding. That's what they say. That's what they say nowadays. The problem's on you. You need to probably go talk to a counselor so that you can deal with your transphobia. I am not kidding. That's exactly what's happening in this country right now. So these girls who want to speak out are afraid to because they don't want to get kicked out of school. And they will be. They will get kicked out. Oh, absolutely they will. Oh, I saw this today on Fox News. And Henry, thank you for sending this to me. Let's see here now. We actually have a clip from Pete Buttigieg here. Pete Buttigieg on laws to protect girls from being forced to compete against biological males in sports. He was asked that question on MSNBC. Cub Scout Pete, as our buddy Daniel Turner put it yesterday, this is what Cub Scout Pete said. Take a listen.
Well, our country is at very real risk of backsliding on freedom and equality, but that is exactly why we continue to push. There has been extraordinary work that's been done just in this presidency, certainly the president being able to sign the Respect for Marriage Act, for example. And if you zoom out to the progress that's been made in the last 10 or 15 years, including the ability of somebody like me to be standing here doing this job, it's extraordinary. And yet now you see the attacks on the LGBTQ community, especially on the trans community, and what they are going through. And, I think it's being done out of a perception that it is politically convenient to target vulnerable groups. And honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law that's building the roads and bridges.
So we're getting back to infrastructure. Infrastructure is transphobic now. Just so you know, infrastructure is transphobic. Honestly, I think where it comes largely from is folks who don't want to talk about where they were against the infrastructure law. So does that mean infrastructure? So infrastructure is transphobic. Is that basically what Cub Scout Pete's saying right now? I guess. So what if my highway identifies as a parking lot, which is what often happens with roads around here. So it's not traffic on 95. It just identifies as a parking lot now. So you're good. Pete Buttigieg on laws to protect girls from being forced to compete against biological males in sports. Honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law. There's a huge, huge link between transphobia and being against the infrastructure law. I don't know if you know that or not. Wow. That's by far the best clip I've ever heard in my life. By hands down, except for this one. And Henry, thanks for sending this our way earlier today. So Fox's John Roberts apologized today. He made a joke about Chris Christie guzzling down milkshakes, and he's apologized for it. He says he deeply regrets it. Fox News's John Roberts. Do we have this the audio of this?
Give me 1 second. I'll have it ready.
Okay. He issued an on-air apology to Chris Christie for making an off-color remark about the former governor's weight. The incident began on Tuesday while Roberts was anchoring an America Reports segment on Christie's expected entry into the 2024 presidential race. As the panel talked about the impact Christie could have on the Republican primary, Roberts went into a questionable tangent that eventually led to him making a comment about Christie's physical appearance and ability to chug down a milkshake. He said, "We wonder about the net effect on the race, and to use a modification of a metaphor we were using on the panel earlier today, if you have two milkshakes, right? If the Republican Party is two milkshakes, and this one representing almost half of the party, because that's what the polling shows, has got one straw in it, and that's Donald Trump's straw, and the other milkshake, which represents the non-Donald Trump part of the Republican Party, has how many straws in it now? And now we're going to have Chris Christie's straw in there, and judging by Chris Christie's physical stature, he could drink a lot of the milkshake if he wanted to, but you're not affecting the Donald Trump milkshake." Jillian Turner, who was his co-anchor for that, was heard saying ouch over Roberts' comment. In the show's next hour, Roberts offered a contrite walk back for his joke gone awry. Take a listen. If you have it. If you don't worry about it.
Yeah, give me one. I'll have it in literally 5 seconds.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks so much for sharing your expertise with us. We're going to keep tracking this story closely.
Yes. Thank you, Julian.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. Hey, before we go on, I just want to take a moment to address something because I really do feel terrible about it. Earlier on the show, I was making an analogy to describe the Republican voter pool, and I made a comment that I meant to be lighthearted, but immediately realized was hurtful toward Governor Chris Christie. I should not have said what I said. I deeply regret it, and I sincerely apologize to the governor.
Aw.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. We're so sorry. It's amazing.
I just like that headline. I thought just the headline was hilarious. The word guzzling.
Yeah, guzzling
that's what
really
does it. Because when I hear the word guzzling, I automatically picture like violently drinking something. Like you're guzzling that.
Right, exactly.
I have his original comments too if you want those.
Oh, sure.
Long dozens illustrious
of,
list.
Dozens of Democrats have tried to do it as well, and it hasn't worked. So we wonder about the net effect on the race. And to use a modification of a metaphor that we were using in the panel earlier today, it's like you have two milkshakes, right? The Republican Party is two milkshakes. And this one, representing almost half the party, because that's what the polling shows, has got one straw in it, and that's Donald Trump's straw. Right. And the other milkshake, which represents the non-Donald Trump part of the Republican Party, has how many straws in it now? And now we're going to have Chris Christie's straw right there. And judging by Chris Christie's physical stature, he could drink a lot of that milkshake if he wanted to. But you're not affecting the Donald Trump milkshake.
Yeah. I mean, he made a fat joke. It's all right. He made a fat joke. What are you going to do? He's John Roberts. You know what I mean? He's John Roberts. Made a fat joke. Henry makes fat jokes about me all the time. It wasn't a very good fat joke, but it was a fat joke nonetheless.
No, he could do better.
It just wasn't. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number. Yeah, I think the President of the United States on the 79th anniversary of D-Day should do more than put out a tweet about D-Day. He should say something, I think. I mean, call me old-fashioned. I think the president should say something, not just tweet about it. But anyway, I'm going to say a lot about D-Day in the next hour. I have lots to share with you on that, too, from President Dwight Eisenhower, from Ronald Reagan, from Donald Trump, as a matter of fact, as well. Plus, I'll share with you some of the stories about it, some of the thoughts about it, and some more breaking news, too. So don't go anywhere. Our fourth and final hour is straight ahead. But dads love steak. How do I know? Well, the answer is I know because I'm a dad. And I love delicious steak. I really do. Steaks are fantastic. And Omaha Steaks makes it so easy for you to make dad incredibly happy. This Father's Day, the experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on dad's face this summer with hand-selected packages. Head over to omahasteaks.com and use promo code Zeoli at checkout and get $30 off your qualifying order. You can choose from a variety of mouth-watering packages that include fork-tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons or other gourmet grillables like the air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo franks, and many more favorites. And don't forget to save room for the dessert. Most gift packages come with caramel apple tartlets. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. So go to omahasteaks.com, use my name Zeoli at checkout, and get $30 off an unforgettable gift that is guaranteed to make dad's day. Because if there's one thing we know, it's that dads want steak. Just last night, I fired up an Omaha steak on the grill. It was fantastic, delicious. They really are the best. Dad'll love it. Dad's gonna be happy. He doesn't want a tie. He wants great food. Omaha Steaks is how you do it. Minimum order is required. See site for details. OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Zeoli at checkout and make dad happy.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.